order on the 18th legislative day. Will the members please vote to signify their presence?
The roll shows 18 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Please stand for the invocation by the chaplain, David Sloan of the Salvation Army.
Shall we pray? Dear Father, we approach you this morning as creator, preserver, and governor of all things with our petitions for this day. May we work diligently, compassionately, and humbly with you in hopes that our collective efforts might be worthy of your blessing. Bless this great state, its residents, leaders, and all who come within its boundaries to enjoy the evidence of your creative powers. We ask this in the name of our universal Savior. Amen.
Well, Senator Fakes, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Coghill.
I move national consensus prayer spread on the journal.
Without objection, a prayer is spread on the journal. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 17th legislative day.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move national consent that the journal be approved as read.
Without objection, the journal is approved as read. Messages from the governor. Introduction of guests. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. In the Ziegler Gallery, we have two guests from Seward, Leslie Samudis and Daryl Schaefermeyer, who's the city manager. Leslie is a city councilman, and also, if you remember, when you go down to Seward, you see Ray's. It's a new restaurant right down there on the waterfront. That's hers, too, and you'll see her in there during the summer. I'd like to welcome Leslie and Daryl to the Senate.
Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the Ziegler Gallery, I have visitors from St. Paul, from Pribilof Islands, out in the middle of the Bering Sea. I enjoyed visiting with them this morning and welcome them to Juneau and to the visiting the legislature. We have Victor McCurlia and Bill Arterburn, and accompanying them is Agafon Krukov. Welcome to the Senate.
For your introductions, messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
There are none.
Communications.
A disclosure letter was received in accordance with AS 2460-080D and will be in Senate Supplement Number 14 to today's journal. That concludes the communications.
Reports of standing committees.
Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 353, Ensure Investments in Development Banks. A majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill and Fakes. Zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 353 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill Number 375, continuing the existence of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board effective date, and a majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, Chair, concurring Senator Coghill and Fakes. Fiscal note attached. Senate Bill Number 375 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill 334, Medicaid waivers for home-based services, and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Curtula, Rohde, and Kelly. Senate Bill 334 is on today's calendar. Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 355, Sexual Offenses Against Children, and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 43 relating to the permanent by Senator Coghill, relating to the permanent fund educational program for elementary students.
State Affairs.
That is the only resolution for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 304 by Senator Coghill entitled An Act Relating to Disability Insurance and Providing for an Effective Date.
Labor and Commerce, Hess, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 404 by Senator Fisher by request entitled An Act Relating to Exemptions from Registration Requirements for Certain Contractors and from Licensing Requirements for Certain Electrical Workers.
State Affairs, Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 405 by Senator Fisher entitled an act making a special appropriation for payment as a grant to the City of Kenai for construction of the Kenai Congregate Housing Project and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 406 by Senators Kelly, Frank, Sturgalewski, Fisher, Pierce, Fakes, Coghill, Porcho, Rohde, and Frank, entitled, an act making a special appropriation to the principal of the Permanent Fund and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Finance.
Those are the bills for introduction this morning.
Brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Senate, please stand. Back to order. Brings us down to the consideration of the daily. Senator Curtula.
The President, I would move national consent to be shown as co-sponsor of the legislation that was just introduced by Senator Fisher on the Kenai Congregate Housing. I don't have the number.
Without objection.
Thank you.
Would the Secretary please recognize the presence in the chambers of Senator Halford and Binkley?
Senate Bill Number 355, an act relating to sexual offenses against children. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with CS for Senate Bill 355, Judiciary, new title, and direct the committee to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring Senator Zemanski and Rohde. Senator Pierce signed no recommendation, 3-0 fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde. There's a Judiciary CS.
Senator Fakes.
Sir, I am going to move the Judiciary CS in just one moment, but if I may just call all the members' attentions to the charts in their packet, and that would clearly show them the existing sex offenses in the existing law, and then the changes that the Judiciary Committee made in the Judiciary CS. And with that, sir, I would move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Judiciary CS for Senate Bill 355.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 355, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee for an act entitled, an act relating to crimes involving sexual penetration or sexual contact with minors, including situations where the adult occupies a position of special trust in relation to the minors, define a legal guardian for certain crimes in relating to the issuance to and revocation of teaching certificates of persons convicted of certain crimes involving a minor.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendment.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the act unanimous consent that Senate Bill 355 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Without objection, Senate Bill 355 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 355, Judiciary, an act relating to crimes involving sexual penetration or sexual contact with minors, including situations where the adult occupies a position of special trust in relation to the minor, defining legal guardian for certain crimes, and relating to the issuance to and revocation of teaching certificates of persons convicted of certain crimes involving a minor.
Is there any discussion? Senator Fakes.
At this time, sir, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Senate Judiciary Letter of Intent as a Senate Letter of Intent.
There is an objection. Is that letter in front of us? It's in the backup. There is an objection. The Senate will stand at ease.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think there are some good things in the letter of intent and that try to explain the intent and purpose. However, I object to some of the tone and implications of some of the paragraphs that I believe go further than, frankly, this body or the legislature really has authority to go. I think that in some of the paragraphs, particularly like the first paragraph on the second page, are really getting into the area that that's what the judges and the courts do. If it's something that we can further describe in law, we should do that. We should not be trying to describe something else other than what we've described in the bill before us in a letter of intent. This is actually kind of a generic criticism, letters of intent, that we've heard in this body and in the legislature for years. And I just think it's a much better policy to keep our laws as clean as we can in the body of the bill and not try to go beyond our bounds of statute and try to get into what the court will be determining over the next several years.
Senator Fakes.
Mr. President, for having the opportunity to respond. This letter of intent was drafted by the Department of Law at the request of the Department of Law. The judge in the case basically said there was no findings, there was no meaning for what the legislature meant, there was no explanation, there was no legislative history, and the judge had nothing basically to go on except just those words in front of him, and there was no backup. And it has been historic in this state that when criminal law has been passed, that there has been a commentary, and that's what this is. It's a letter of intent explaining the law, explaining the background of the law, giving some history to this law so that when you do go into court and you are defending or prosecuting using this law, there is some legislative history and backup to the various nuances that might be needed in the law. So it has been drafted by the Department of Law, their legal staff, and it is at their request that this commentary follow this bill.
Further discussion, Senator Porcheau.
Thank you, Mr. President. The fact that the Attorney General's office drafted this gives me no comfort.
Senator Rohde.
Just a comment on the Senator Porcheau's concern. The Alaska has the plain meaning rule with regard to the statute. The statute does control, but as Senator Fakes has correctly pointed out, the court does, in difficult cases, look to legislative intent, and I think it is important. The second paragraph that was alluded to by the previous speaker is a very straightforward factual statement of what the law does, and I think entirely appropriate in this context.
Senator Curtula.
Yes, I support the chairman's version here and the reason. I do have a question, though. It seems to me equally reprehensible, if not quite as psychologically damaging in all cases, for school teachers, for people in responsibility to actually pressure and mix with their students at the age of over 18 also. Now, I'm not asking the statute because of all kinds of other technical problems to reflect that. It seems to me that we ought to have had a purpose statement here to that effect, that we find it totally reprehensible, and that people involved or having been involved in abuse of their professional responsibilities, using them, using their power, ought to be discharged and ought to be run off. And I think there's some things that could be done here that ought to give the whole purpose of the legislature a little more, we ought to make a little stronger statement that anybody that has control of somebody in a student-pupil situation, at least, no matter what the age, certainly into the 20s, ought to be run off. I don't care if it's a university professor or if it's a high school senior at the age of 18. You know, this is all bad. And I regret that we don't have that also as a purpose clause. I could have had the time to do it, I suppose, myself, and probably should have done it, but I didn't sit on a committee doing it. Perhaps it was debated, at least for the record, in the committee.
Further discussion. Question being, shall the letter of intent for committee substitute for Senate Bill 355 Judiciary be adopted by the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So the letter of intent for committee substitute for Senate Bill 355 Judiciary has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and 1 nay. That brings us on discussion on Senate Bill 355 in third reading. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to first of all thank the Judiciary Committee for the fine job they did do on this particular bill. In the form coming out of me, I would have rather had it stronger, but I also realized that you can't always have exactly what you want. But let me say that this bill addresses more than just teachers. This bill addresses the concept of the school being more than just an institution of learning. The school is the home away from home for students, and these students deserve all of the protections that we can give them. This bill is intended to strengthen the system and to lend stiff penalties to those who break the rules. There should be a wall of integrity between individuals in official positions of authority and those who are in the custody and care of officials. Senate Bill 355 was introduced in response to the indictment brought against an Anchorage teacher for allegedly having sex with a 17-year-old student. The teacher was charged with first-degree sexual abuse of a minor, an unclassified felony. Under Alaska law, the age of consent is generally 16. However, the law also provides that an adult may not have sex with a 16 or 17-year-old if the minor was entrusted to the adult's care by authority of law. In the Anchorage case, the Department of Law argued that students are placed in a teacher's care by authority of law, making 18 the age of consent for teacher-student sex. The teacher argued that this law only applies to legal guardians and other persons similarly situated. And while the Judiciary Committee was considering SB 355, Judge Johnston dismissed the charges against the teacher, ruling that the statute did not prohibit teachers from having sex with 16 and 17-year-old students. Mr. President, I think it's a shame that specific prohibitions against teacher misconduct with students needs to be adopted in any fashion. That some sexual relationships between teachers and students should be tolerated is totally unacceptable. I trust that my colleagues will agree with me and vote in favor of this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Porcheau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I recognize this bill has widespread public support, and certainly by my contacts with fellow members and the recent vote we had, I'm sure it has widespread Senate support. And I've wrestled with this for the last couple of days on what to do about the concerns that I have with the bill. For the first time in 6 years, when I was going home last night, I actually thought about calling in sick today. Because it is a very awkward position where you do believe, as the senator behind me spoke, that wrong things have occurred, they need to be punished. It seems clear that something ran afoul here. At the same time, I have some real concerns about the process here and about some of the implications of the bill, and I feel that even though maybe my vote and my words might come, I'm sure, back to haunt me somewhere later down the line, I need to say them. And the first is the concern over the fast-tracking of the bill. I believe you, Mr. President, announced last Friday when the case was thrown out of court that we would have a bill within 2 weeks. The second of two Judiciary Committee hearings was concluded last Tuesday, 2 days ago. The Rules Committee met yesterday, Wednesday. A CS was available not much longer than 24 hours ago. And Mr. President, I know that this is not the first time we get warm drafts of CS legislation before us, but usually we leave that distinction to the end of the session, not the beginning of the session. So I'm a little bit puzzled, I guess, not really, but have concern that somehow with 100 days left in the session, we have decided that this piece of legislation, important as it is, does not warrant very much time and care in crafting, nor in hearing reaction to it, or in studying the overall implications of some of the things that have changed in the bill since it was first introduced. I'm also concerned about how this legislation that we are in the process of presumably careful lawmaking, how this, our process is so interwoven with this ongoing court case. I see that as a very bad precedent, a very bad trend. Ms. Otto of the AG's office, who I personally like and have a lot of respect for, was the main witness and the main bill drafter before our Judiciary Committee on this bill. Certainly, the AG's office provides vital input to this. At the same time, I think we have to remember that the AG's office is the same department that runs the prosecuting attorney that had the case thrown out. And when I read in the paper last Friday, the chief prosecutor quoted as saying that he hadn't decided yet if he will appeal the case. One factor would be ground into the decision is whether the legislature seems likely to pass a law specifically banning sex between teachers and students. Yesterday's paper quotes the actual prosecutor of the case, McConnell, as citing the pending changes in the law as the reason for not appealing the judge's decision in the Carlson case. There's something wrong with that, I think, where we're somehow being used in a way by the prosecuting attorney, somehow being a pawn in their pursuit or non-pursuit of a pending court case. I don't think that's a role the legislature should take or should find itself in. I'm also concerned about the scope of the law before us. I agree with many of the statements by the sponsor of the bill and on the need to do something. On the one hand, I like what the Judiciary Committee did by not singling out teachers, but recognizing there are other people in various custodial or special trust situations that should come under a law. On the other hand, the committee completely extended this to include the laundry list of people. I'm not going to go through them all: youth leader, recreation leader, scout leader, athletic manager, coach, teacher, babysitter, chiropractors, dental hygienists, dentists, health aides, nurses, occupational therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, audiologists, and hearing aid dealers. I mean, and there's more. In addition to the more that's specified, there are four similar professions or occupations. This is where we have the problems. When we talk about the sentencing laws that go with these things, if we're talking about teachers, frankly, again, I'll have to say, compliment the Judiciary Committee, when we were talking about quasi-parental roles, custodial roles, or even teachers, the penalties associated with having sex between older people and 16 and 17-year-olds and with under 15-year-olds seem to track our existing child abuse laws fairly well. But when we go back then now and look at this wide range of categories, I have some real concerns that we are going to get into some situations that we never intended. For example, the unclassified felony that we would call for people under 16, that seems to make sense when we talk about a parental role, someone living in the family, or even a teacher. But now when we look back and we look at dental hygienists, audiologists, that unclassified felony carries an 8-year presumptive sentence. Well, currently in the law, people who aren't in custodial roles, like audiologists, hearing aid specialists today, face a Class B felony for the same kinds of activities. So we've altered that. Now we're introducing a presumptive sentence into a whole larger class of people that didn't have it. Similarly, on the Class B felony introduced for the older person's contact or the teacher's contact with 16 and 17-year-olds, in the teacher context, that fits fairly well into our system. But again, when we go back and look at some of these other things, we're talking about an up to a 10-year felony sentence for consensual sex between a whole host of people in a whole host of situations that we really can't imagine with 16 and 17-year-olds. You know, I think all of us individually can think of some anecdotes about some ludicrous situations that could arise. And, you know, there's one thing, Miss Otto's real smart, she knows a lot about things. One thing I'm absolutely know that she knows nothing about is what are the motivations, what goes on inside the head of a 17-year-old young man. And I know something about that, and I'm not so old that I don't remember being 17. And this may seem preposterous, but when I was 17, I wasn't in high school, I was in college, and I did date older women. And I don't think any of those women happen to be on this list, but I'll tell you that my good-looking 21-year-old dental hygienist, if she would have given me half an opportunity, I know what I would have done. And it would not have been with the idea that she, a young woman, 21 years old, would go to jail for up to 10 years. And I don't call these up to make light of the seriousness of what we're really trying to do here in regard to teachers. But there are lots of these little things in law that's our job to think about when we're crafting law. And I think we've built, in the words of the Judiciary Committee, we've spread the net too far here. And we're going to end up with some, you know, conceivably, situations involving innocent people, tying them up into penalties that we never envisioned. Mr. President, I would, I think it's too late, but I would sure have hoped that we would have gone slower and taken a much more cautious, deliberative approach to this legislation.
Further discussion. question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 355 Judiciary pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator wish to change her or his vote? Secretary will record the vote. So committee substitute for Senate Bill 355 Judiciary passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and 2 nays.
Senate Bill number 334 by Senators Ewing, Fearingcamp, Duncan, Strzelewski, Fakes, Halford, Rohde, Jones, Elias, and Jarrett, and Pershaw. An act directing the Department of Health and Social Services to seek permission to use options and receive waivers under the Medicaid program for the cost of home or community-based services for developmentally delayed children, developmentally disabled persons, disabled adults, and older Alaskans, directing other agencies to assist in that process and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill. The majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring. Senators Jones and Duncan. Senator Adams signed no recommendation. 3 fiscal notes attached. Finance Committee considered the bill. The majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Ewing, co-chair, concurring. Senators Jarrett, Duncan, Frank, Pierce, and Fisher. 2 fiscal notes attached. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendaring. Report was signed by Senator Strzelewski, chair, concurring. Senators Kortula, Rohde, and Kelly.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move that cannabis consent.
Senator Rohde, could you hold 1 second, please? Senator Ewing. Senator, please stand. Order. Will the Senate please come back to order? We are in second reading on Senate Bill 334. Madam Secretary, are there any amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Senators Ewing and Strzelewski, page 1, line 21, delete section 7 and insert section 7. This act takes effect immediately under AS 0110-070C.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move to ask consent to adopt amendment number 1.
Without objection, amendment number 1 is adopted. Senator Rohde.
President, I move the unanimous consent that Senate Bill 334 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Senate Bill 334 is in third reading.
Senate Bill number 334 amended an act directing the Department of Health and Social Services to seek permission to use options and receive waivers in the Medicaid program for the cost of home or community-based services for developmentally delayed children, developmentally disabled persons, disabled adults, and older Alaskans, directing other agencies to assist in that process and providing for an effective date.
Is there any discussion? Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to thank the many co-sponsors, the 10 co-sponsors on the bill that have sponsored this bill and the importance of it. We certainly have gotten a lot of support in the community and throughout the state over the interim and during the first 2 to 3 weeks of the session. As you're probably aware, the bill directs the Department of Health and Social Services to apply for the federal approval to provide home care for certain individuals under the Medicaid program. You're probably familiar also that our service delivery system is a bit lopsided, and families and individuals are suffering because of this. The legislation essentially directs the Alaska's Medicaid program to go ahead and implement an application process through the federal government. There are 47 other states that do this presently, and this bill would put Alaska ahead of those states and in the forefront. It takes about 2 years to go through that process. It is essentially a home care bill versus having people having to stay in institutions, and I want to thank everybody for their support.
Further discussion? The question being, shall Senate Bill 334 amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so Senate Bill 334 amended passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause does pass.
Citations honoring David Shalanti as Alaska Teacher of the Year by Senators Ewing, Kelly, Halford, Strzelewski, Pierce, Pershaw, Fakes, Fisher, Kortula, Rohde, Fearingcamp, Jones, Szymanski, and Duncan. Honoring the Robert Atwood family by Senators Pierce, Fakes, Strzelewski, Dinkley, Ewing, Fisher, Kortula, Rohde, Fearingcamp, Jones, Kelly, Szymanski, and Halford. Honoring Mary Tootin, Executive Director, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute by Senators Pierce, Strzelewski, Binkley, Pershaw, Fakes, Kortula, Szymanski, Duncan, Halford, and Kelly. I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. Honoring Ray Price, Alaska State Housing Authority by Senators Kelly, Strzelewski, Pierce, Binkley, Pershaw, Fakes, Kortula, Rohde, Fearingcamp, Jones, Duncan, and Halford.
Senator Coghill.
President, I move NASA unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to the citation honoring David Schwantz and also the Atwood family place.
Without objection, Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move NASA unanimous consent be added to the Ray Price citation.
Without objection. Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move NASA unanimous consent that I be added to the following citations: the Schwantz citation, the Atwood citation, and the Tutton.
Without objection. Senator Lyson.
Mr. President, I move NASA unanimous consent that my name be added as a co-sponsor to the citations appearing on today's calendar.
Without objection. Senator Rudy.
A question to the Secretary. Madam Secretary, is my name on the Tutton citation?
Yes, sir, it is. I read them wrong.
Mr. President, I would move NASA unanimous consent that the citations be approved as
read. Without objection, citations are approved as read. That brings us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? Unfinished business? Senator Fisher. Senator will stand at ease. Senator will come back to order. We're on unfinished business. Senator Sturgeliski.
Yes, move NASA unanimous consent that we move back to introductions.
Without objection, we revert to introduction of guests.
Yes, I'm very pleased to introduce in the Ziegler Gallery one of our very fine new pages this year. Peter Efton's father is here, and Dwayne Efton.
Brings us back to unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, the Legislative Council will meet at noon today in the Governor's Conference Room.
Senator Fakes.
It's with great regret that I have to cancel the Judiciary Committee meeting today at 1:30. The CSs are not prepared, sir, and so we'll take up the bills that were announced, Senate Bill 78 and Senate Bill 367, on Tuesday.
Further, Senator Jones.
President, the Transportation Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30 in the Belts Room. We're having a teleconference hearing on the effects of Mount Redoubt eruptions, and we'll be having the FAA representatives, Anchorage International Airport representatives, and some representatives from the air carriers online. So it should be interesting. I invite everyone to attend.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. The joint meetings concerning the oil spill commission and hearing from DEC and others will continue today from 1 to 5. I know that many of you have, as I do, other committees, that so if you would like to go in and out during those hearings, I'm sure there would still be some questions and things that you will have to ask and things you want to learn. So it's continuing today, 1 to 5, Senate Finance.
Under announcements, two items. While it's not finalized, it would appear that the legislature will not meet on Friday, March 9th, for those of you making travel plans. Easter comes real late this year. It comes 3 weeks before the end of session, and there is an exchange program with Canadian legislators at that time. So it would appear that on March 9th, Friday, we will not be in session. And also on Tuesday, we will have a majority caucus meeting immediately following the session. Further announcements? Special orders. Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the privilege of the floor under special orders to speak on Senate Bill 214.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Had I been willing to go along with last year's permanent fund spending, I expect I would have had more success in advocating the motion of Senate Bill 214, the bill introduced last year to deposit the permanent fund reserve into the principal of the permanent fund. Now I notice this year we have a bill to deposit $400 million of that reserve, approximately two-thirds of it, into the principal of the fund, and I notice some commonality of co-sponsors. I would just say that I guess that imitation is the highest form of flattery. But I think there is a bigger problem. We all know that there's bills for show, and there's bills for go, and there's bills for no. We also know the tradition of this legislature that the bill that comes from one body or the other with a specific title is used to carry that issue. Well, in fact, we have a bill, a House Bill 190 in Senate Finance, the title of which is an act making a special appropriation to the permanent fund. The House sent the bill first. Now we're introducing a bill of the same title. If that's a bill for go, I would suggest that we have a much better way to go and much faster. We can, in fact, with a simple amendment, move out the House bill in Senate Finance and have legislation on the governor's desk within 3 days, meeting our commitment to the permanent fund from last year, as well as going forward and protecting as much of the reserve as this body is willing to do. I had at the beginning of the session an amendment proposed to that bill, researched by legislative legal. I have copies of it if anyone is interested, but there is an amendment that is consistent with that title, which would deposit essentially the entire reserve and the $150 million from last year's commitment, a total $750 million commitment to the permanent fund. We hear the talk of increasing the budget more and more because we have too much money. There is something we can do about it. We can do it in two ways. We can deal with the budget straightforwardly, but we can also fulfill our commitments to the future. Thank you.
Further special orders. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. This isn't special orders, but I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 355.
Reconsideration is given.
Thank you.
Senator Coghill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to discuss Senate Joint Resolution 43, which I introduced today.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the resolution is a very simple resolution. It gives the permanent fund trustees a pat on the back for initiating a program that I think is very vital to the permanent fund program, and that is to teach the elementary kids of this state as to what that permanent fund process is all about, what the fund is about, what the investment program of the fund is about, and what we need to do is that this fund basically, Mr. President, is for those children. Those children are the ones that are going to be looking at the fruits of this fund as they grow into adulthood, and that they have to understand it. And what it will do is it will preclude any raid on the fund, any raid on the income of the fund by people that wish to start getting into that pot. I think that it's very important, and I would encourage everybody to get on that resolution. It's already in place. It's just an expression of thanks and gratitude to those people that instituted it.
Are you asking that the bill be held on the Senate Secretary's
desk?
Senate,
Mr. President, yes, that the bill be held on the Secretary's desk for co-sponsor.
For the special orders. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Monday morning.
Without objection, Senate stands adjourned.